Hello, welcome to our first try at a podcast with an accompanied video.
We say first try.
yeah. Well, third, fourth, who knows, there might be a sixth, an eighth, a tenth. We'll see how it pans out. I called it the Whitlock experience as I was registering up Podomatic.
The Whitlock experience.
It
sounds like a ride at Alton Towers. Not gonna lie.
Scary one.
Yeah.
But open to deliberation and we could call it whatever, you know, maybe if anyone's got a bad name. They can let us know, we're doing like an experimental podcast, just me and Mike kind of having just recording pretty much the conversations that we sort of regularly have in the car about taekwondo. Obviously, you know, we both do and love taekwondo and martial arts in general, I know I like talking about martial arts, so I know others do as well, so take advantage of that.
Yeah, let's just hope that they think that we're as interesting as what we think we are.
Probably not, but hey ho, we'll soon see.
We're having fun, so
exactly, that's what it's about. It's also another medium for us to have an opportunity to talk about some of our sponsorship. We both are members of Puma Professional United.
Professional Unification of Martial Arts.
I'm sorry, Master Gale. I'm sorry. Already, it's a bad start. But there we are. Yes, we're Puma members of the Puma Squad. That is a member of ITF England. We are in the national team for that. Before that, we were in Chasing Wars ITF, and we've been independent as well. We were competing for a while,
Also, our roots from the TAGB as well.
Oh yeah, we got our black belts for the TAGB back in April 2000.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
Just before we split.
Yeah. You were five and I was seven when.
It's five, yeah.
You were five, definitely.
Yeah, I started in 1994.
Yeah, crikey. So we've been doing it a long time. We compete a lot. We're lucky we get to travel represent Puma and our country, etc. In ITF Taekwondo. Obviously, we welcome WTF listeners, people who want to buy, you know, we'll discuss some WTF stuff as well. But obviously, our background is ITF, and through sort of getting to travel and compete a lot, I'm lucky enough to get a little bit of sponsorship here and there. Because obviously, as I'm sure most of you know, it's completely amateur. Nobody pays us to do it. In fact, we pay a lot of money to get kicked and punched in the face for our country, because we like that. I want to talk about True Warrior. They're one of my kit sponsors, they're awesome. There's warriorforlife.com is their website. They sell dough box, sparring equipment, kickboxing stuff. All the standard stuff that companies sell, but it's not standard equipment. It's really good equipment. The True Warrior gloves and stuff that I wore at the Holland Cup a couple of weekends ago. They're awesome. They're comfortable. They look wicked. White Dobok with white sparring equipment. Just, you know, I don't care who you are. It looks cool. I think so. if you any instructors that want to, are looking for a different place to get their dough box. They're very reasonably priced. The owner, Mr. De Silva, is a top man, I guarantee you won't have any problems with ordering or anything like that for him. He's very reliable, very efficient, and just check it out, warriorforlife.com. I'll get on to one of the other sponsors a bit later on. But yeah, what sort of direction do you want to go for us in this podcast?
Well, I like to talk about our own experience of competition circuit as a general. So I feel as if we've got a lot of knowledge in that, and we've got insiders' views rather than kind of external people looking at Facebook and stuff like that. So I want to talk about what's going on in our camp, and you know, about the circuits. We'll be reviewing some competitions, and you know, go down that route. But I think we just mentioned the Holland Cup. Mm-hmm. That was a recent one, which happened on the anniversary, 60th anniversary of Taekwondo, a couple of weekends ago. So yeah, it'd be a good idea to start there. Mr. Tim Cool's competition.
Top competition.
There was over 500 people.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, over 500 competitors from lots of countries. I think it was in the teens.
Yeah, if it was 11 or 12 countries, something like that.
Maybe. Okay, just shy of the teens.
Yeah, but maybe Tim can correct us.
Yeah, and the standard was quality. I think I had a good kind of 19, 20 in my category. Fought Dutch competitors, Swedish competitors, Norwegian competitors as well. Sure about your category. You had a bigger category than mine, I think.
Yeah, mine was big. I can't remember how many, but I think it was 5 fights to win gold. So yeah, and as I said, like the standards high. Like I think it was really good time for this one, because obviously, you know what, 6 weeks before the World Championships, perfect warm up for you know, some of the guys across Europe. It was as I say, it's a good standard every time. And also, it was wicked to, you know, be competing on Taekwondo's anniversary. It's always nice.
Yeah, from a personal thing, we went as our organisations, as our clubs, from you know, Puma, from you know, the Silver Lot,
Vision
and stuff. We came separately, but our teams competed as ITF England. So it's a good tryout for our England sparring teams and our patterns teams, just to kind of have a run out and have a little tester for a team. And we did reasonably well. I mean, the patterns, we were a bit nervous with the patterns to start with, because our first round we came up against a team of little girls.
Yeah, about 11, 12-year-old girls. That's more pressure. There's more pressure than, like, you know, the you know, another national men's team. Because, you know, I mean, if you lose those, it's like, well, you know, they're better on the day, etc.
Yeah.
But, like, red belts as well. A bunch of red belt girls. You know, try explaining that to your coach.
Yeah.
6 weeks before the World Championships. Yeah, but no, thankfully it went well. We got a silver, didn't we?
Yeah, we lost to a Dutch team. Yeah, they were very good, very professional. So it wasn't about the winning, it was just getting patterns, you know, having a good practice with that.
We say that when we lose. It wasn't about the winning, it was fair.
Yeah.
But no, it was, yeah, you know, we haven't been doing them that long and got it together. Like, I'm sure most people know, like, team patterns is a weird dynamic, isn't it? Particularly for, like, you know, even like when we're doing just Puma squad team patterns, like there's slight variations, etc., like even from club to club in the same association. And you get people from, you know, however many different associations, like it takes a while to get the sync and everything like that. But yeah, it was good.
Yeah, we've been meeting up. We've had our national squad sessions in Birmingham, in Surrey and in Swindon. So I've been doing that every week. Well, I mean, pretty much every week for the past couple of months or so. And, you know, with that, we've been doing extra team practice on the Saturday. We've stayed in the hotel overnight. And yeah, now we're about a month away from a competition. We're starting to really pick up the training now and focus on that. But back to the Holland Cup.
Holland Cup.
We had a tryout with our sparring team as well. We had an A team and a B team. We're not... Is it still filming?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah, yeah, we're... yeah, we were both
technical
in the...
Technical error. Pause. Play.
We were both in the A team. And we had... I think it was about nine teams. We came across a Norwegian team. If you are unsure, Norwegian team, they always come in mass. They always have a lot of people coming to every tournament. I think there's a good 50, 60 odd, maybe even more than that.
Which makes a massive difference, doesn't it? Like your talent pool, as soon as your talent pool is increased, like the standard's going to, you know, increase, what it should do.
Yeah,
and,
well,
and it does with Norway.
Well, we had a good conversation in the McDonald's to with some Norwegian guys. Which
that was after the tournament, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Coaches. It was after the tournament.
Yeah. We're also sponsored by McDonald's. no, and we were talking about how their national squads run and stuff, and they're saying the standard over there, even though we come in mass, the standard there is improving dramatically. And I think it was the Brighton World Cup. They won it, their team won it. But we overcame them. And then who was it against? We were against... we had another team.
It was all a blur.
Yeah, for the Swedish team. And then in the semi-final... No, it was a semi-final we fought with Swedes, wasn't it? I think it was. And we won 20-0, so it means all five fighters won unanimously 4-0.
To clarify the difference, maybe for people like from other ITFs or independents, etc., like the way this ITF works, which Grandmaster Trattenberg's ITF, the team sparring is where two people fight. And they add up the judges' scores, so you know, blue or red gets 1 point, and then it's a cumulative over the five fights as to how many judges go for one team or the other, rather than on the fights, which makes it an interesting dynamic, doesn't it? So it makes it things like the draws and stuff like that more tactical. Like I think it's a harder job for the coaches. Kudos to Mr. Lee for doing that and scaring the crap out of me when after I forgot I was the fifth man and everyone had won 4-0. Mr. Lee reminded me of that. No pressure, Whitlock. but yeah, went out and got it.
And then we fought a Dutch team in the final who weren't very popular among other members of this Dutch ITF. Say come from another
controversial Michael Whitlock. Controversial.
Just saying it how it is. They weren't very popular in this group. They come from another ITF, but they were the first two of our fights, we won through disqualification. So we lost 4-0 on the first. We won 4-0 on the first two, and I was one of them as well. So I was quite happy when when he got the free Kamcham Hennes. So that's nice and easy. Fight lasted about 30 seconds, which I was happy with.
This is it doesn't make any sense, but like, because several of the fights happened, you'd think that, okay, this isn't, the style in which I'm fighting is not working for this tournament, even if it's just a stylistic difference, which is arguable. As a coach, you tell your fighters, you're getting disqualified, like, we want to win this, like, stop that, and let's play the game, it's strange when kind of people sort of stick to even when they know like that style will not win them the tournament, but they stick to it anyway. I think that's I don't know, maybe that's the difference between, like, sort of championship winning fighters. You know, they've got lots of strings to their bow, and they can, you know, adapt themselves as to which, you know, where the situation or circumstance that they're in. Whereas, you know, if you just kind of, that's your style and that's the way I'm going to do it every time, then, you know, you know some competitions will be suited for you and others won't be. Like,
yeah, we've been doing a lot of work about the national squad as well. Yesterday, was it yesterday? Yeah, it was yesterday. We were working on... we were working on getting the final points, so we're doing scenario-based training, so we've gone to a draw, and it's the first point's a winner. Yeah, so it's all about getting at final point and kind of doing more kind of sports kickboxing style, doing kind of long-range linear stuff off the front leg and front hand. I'm trying to get that first point without conceding and kind of playing that game rather than taking one to get two. Yeah, we're working on that.
Different ball game, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and we also did different scenarios when we had... it's kind of the last 10 seconds of a fight and we had one person in the corner with on two warnings, so we just need to nudge him out of the ring one more time to get that minus point to get us the win. And we're kind of working on our tactics. And we had a coach there telling us what we were doing wrong.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's... I love the squad trainings that we're doing. Like I learn a lot every time. And it's... I think, in a way, like, we're kind of lucky in that we've got to... Because of our kind of moving from one ITF to the other and independence, etc., we've actually got to work with quite a lot of different coaches, and you know, take and obviously, you know, one ITF is slightly different to the other, etc. And we're kind of constantly having to adapt, you know, our technical and stuff like that. But I think that keeps us like fresh and on our toes, you know.
Yeah, I think the Grandmaster Trattenberg, ITF has become very stylized in their sparring. We've kind of gone to more kickboxing, points kickboxing style. A lot of them, you know, even our coaches have done lots of points kickboxing. Like world champion Dylan Fitzgibbon, he's done a lot of points kickboxing fighting and stuff. So, yeah, we're just kind of learning a lot of that and, you know, I think we accept that we've come from a different style and we're all kind of learning as we go on. But there's a few techniques that are alien to me. Like there's, you know, defensive side kick. We used to just kind of driving in that side kick with a knee high and bang. But, you know, for changes to getting a knee low and kind of pushing off and getting a head out of the way, kind of without giving any points away, that's kind of new to me. And the downward turning kick... The banana kick, or whatever you want to call it, that's completely alien to me. Yeah, but it's all different. It's all different stuff.
This is it. Different experiences, different styles of fighting. Like, I think it's a two-way thing, isn't it? Because like having the competing in sort of different styles of sparring, etc. Like, it means, I think, as a martial artist overall, you're broader and you've got a, you know, a more complete set of skills. But then, like, you kind of drag almost like baggage from one style to the other. Like, you can, there are good things that you can take from one style and put them into the next, but there are other things that don't work and you need to cut them out. Like, think, like, you know, I keep getting minus points and stuff like that for sort of grabbing and different boxing and stuff like that, that's sort of from my kickboxing, like full contact kickboxing experience. So that's, yeah, kind of a bit of the baggage that I've come over that I've got to try and sort of shed in 4 weeks. But no, I'm doing it now and it's working, but, you know, it's something that I need to be aware of. Talking of kickboxing, I would like to mention Super Fight Series. Not only are they a sponsor of myself, they just have some fantastic shows on. I'm really looking forward to getting there and being in that big sort of show environment. You know, there's always a buzz. It's wicked. But yeah, I am a Super Fight Series sponsored fighter because of my kickboxing experience. I have a WRSA amateur English belt. I haven't actually been in the ring for 2 years now because of different taekwondo commitments, and obviously moving to this ITF took a different style, etc. But before that, when I moved over to kickboxing, I very quickly realised that I needed to work on my boxing, and I did that, went away and chipped away, and you know, my boxing is far from perfect. It's not, you know, it's kind of nice. It's like, it was one of those things, like in taekwondo, it's kind of like, I'd like to think like my hands are sort of, you know, at least sort of above average, that kind of level. But like kickboxing, you know, there are a lot people that are a lot better than me. But it has, you know, for myself, my personal experience, my boxing's improved loads. But with that has kind of come hooks and stuff like that that don't go sort of too well with taekwondo. But yeah, through that, I've got my sponsorship there, and I am hopefully fighting the 11th of July, which will be good. We'll have more details on that sort of as they come out. But on the 16th of May, they have their first massive show. It's in the SSE Arena in Wembley. I think it's wicked that, like, England, Britain needs, like, a, you know, a big show like this to kind of up the ante and up everything, you know, get the exposure for the fighters. Like, they're paying the fighters well, you know, and for the fans. Like, it's just, it's wicked. I'm really excited to see how it goes, and you know, the fruits of their labour that I know that they're definitely putting in. But you can check out details of their fights at superfightseries.co.uk, and you can get tickets for their show, as I said, 16th of May in Wembley, and at ssearena.co.uk. They've got several four-man tournaments going on. As we all know, I mean, fight fans will know things like Prize Fighter and boxing and stuff like that. They're exciting, you know, they're good to watch. And there's going to be some, you know, kickboxing version of those, and hopefully they'll live up to the same standard and excitement, and I'm sure they will. They've got two world titles, 77 kilo, Reese Rowell versus Nigel Thomas, and they have the heavyweight ISKA sanctioned plus 100 kilos world kickboxing belt. Two gentlemen that I'm not even going to try and pronounce their names because I'll butcher it, and they're big scary men, and I don't want them angry at me if ever they get wind of this. So I'm going to say two great fighters that are fighting for the 100 kilo belt. And yeah, as I mentioned, I should be fighting 11th of July, and I'll keep people updated. Hopefully we want to do this sort of once a week to start with, see how it goes, and you know, see if people are interested, and you know, as the details come out, I'll keep you all posted. Talking of fighting and stuff other than taekwondo, I think there is a fight coming up at the weekend that we cannot not mention. Mayweather versus Pac-Man.
Mayweather versus Pac-Man. Come on, Pac-Man.
We are both Pac-Man fans. Are in his corner. I think a lot of people, like, I don't know, a lot of the people that I talk to, like, there's a lot of, I don't know, maybe it's just where we live or something like that, but, you know, I think Pacquiao's got, well, he's got the Bristol vote, I reckon. But what's your prediction? How do you see it pan out?
I can't see anything else but a Mayweather win, to be honest.
You're hurting my ears, dude.
I know, Pac-Man hasn't knocked anyone out in 6 years.
It's a big factor.
I think, you know, it's being hyped up and hyped and hyped and hyped, and, you know, the money on the tickets is unbelievable. But it wouldn't be as good a fight as it would have been 5 years ago. I know everyone says that, but
but that's because it's true.
Yeah, well, it is true, you know.
Okay, let me pause you there. Prediction, Mayweather versus Pacquiao 5 years ago.
Mayweather.
Wow, still Mayweather.
Still Mayweather.
Still Mayweather.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, sorry, how did you see this 2015 Pacquiao Mayweather reality fight?
I think it's just the nature of Pacquiao's game against the nature of Mayweather's game. I think Pacquiao is full of energy and he's kind of an attacking fighter, and Mayweather's a defensive fighter, and being a defensive fighter, I think, you know, age doesn't bear too much of a, whereas, you know, if you're an attacking fighter with relying on your speed and power. And I know he has good timing, good in that movement and stuff.
It's, like, you could argue about, like, his reaction time as he got older, but, like, he's just a freak that's on that level where, like, as you say, like, if it's more kind of timing and magic than it, like, than anything else. But, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, I mean, they've both had long careers, haven't they? But been through some...
Yeah. Yeah, I think I mean, even 5 years ago, I think Mayweather just has the nous, I think. And they say winning's a habit. And, you know, he just knows how to win. Yeah, fighters like that. You have them in Taekwondo as well. People who you look at and you think they're not... There's people I've been... I'm not going to name names, but there's people I've been up against recently and think, I've got the power, I've got the speed, you know, I've got more techniques than them, but they just know how to win. And, they just kind of get into a winning habit. And
BJ Penn style, like... I mean, I know what you mean. Like, you get those weird sort of... Like, don't get me wrong, everyone trains hard. You have to train hard to be an international taekwondo. But, like, there are some people that, like, they do the same amount of training as you know, the rest of the elite level, but they've just... Do you think it's... What do you put it down to? Do you think it's a psychological edge? Do you think it's genetics? What do you think... It's special about those people that just win consistently, that are multiple world champions.
I think they just know how to win. I just think it's an experience thing and a psychological thing as well.
But you get people that win, and they'll get that, you know. Maybe a world title or a European title, which obviously is fantastic, and you know, you retire like a happy man, knowing that at one point you were the best person in the world. But those, you know, those people that do it time and time again, and they just know how they, like, even. And, like, stuff happens, you know, bad stuff happens on the mats, bad decisions happen and stuff like that, but they just win time and time again. Like, that excellence is just, it's hard to describe, isn't it? It's, you know...
Go on, name names.
I mean, obviously, Suska, like, 6 times world champion, 20 times European champion, like, he's a freak athlete. I mean, he works his butt off, you know, it's infamous how hard he trains, but to win time and time again, it's, you know, it's fantastic. I mean, obviously, patterns, like, I think it's easier to be consistent in patterns than it is inspiring, because you've got to do your pattern. Like, the inspiring, there are other things that can influence the outcome, you know.
I think
there's more variables, I think.
I think some people in patterns, you can be swayed by, like, you know, your own, you know, your name, you know, like, names count for a lot more in patterns. For whatever reason, that you know, people, you'll find that in the kind of local domestic competitions, like, people who aren't aware of big names, then it's kind of more of an open playing field almost. But once you've got that name, then it kind of stays there. I think one example is someone who's on a roll at the moment in patterns is Lilian Doulet from France.
Yeah,
he's
insane, Mumu, insane.
He's just someone that's I think he's just a big name now. He's kind of one of the icons. There may be people out there who can do better patterns than him, but I think he'll always have a natural advantage.
Yeah.
He's just a big name.
I think it's not taking anything away from him. I just think it's a natural thing that, you know, the umpires are humans, like, and you know, you can't be completely objective. It's impossible. Like, there's, you know, sway here or there. Like, you take prejudice to the mats and stuff like that. Like, it's unavoidable. And I think, yeah, once you have that success, like, I think it's maybe easier to kind of keep it rolling a little bit, but, and as I say, sort of slightly more so in patterns, but, you know, it doesn't take away, like, that, you know, those elite, you know, Lilian,
Mark Trotter,
Siska, Mark Trotter,
Zealand,
yeah, like, that, you know, they do a move like that every single time. It's
inspiring. Go on, I'm going to put you on the spot. Who would you say is the equivalent in inspiring? Somebody who just knows how to win. I've got one name in mind.
Yeah, I've got several. Like, go on.
For me, I'm not sure if he's ever won a world championship, but someone that I've been against, there's a couple of people I've been against actually, but well, I'm going to name one, and that's my teammate and captain, Zach Espy. I think a good example for me personally against him in the semi-final of the World Cup, his biggest, well, it's a massive tournament, there's about 80 in that category, and
a bit less,
yeah, but we had a number of fights to get to the semi-final, and then I came across Zach in the semi, and it's a 3-minute round, and we could see the scoreboard, and he's just one of those fighters that looks like he's not doing very much, but his cardio is so good, his strength is so good, and he always picks it up in the last few seconds. So I was up for, you know, I'd say a good 70% of that fight. Then with 30 seconds to go, he just picked it up.
Yeah.
And then he saw the scoreboard flick to him. Back then, the rules were that you could run around from men on. So he did that. And he's just someone that just knows how to get the W at the end. Yeah. Who you can say?
Fair play. I mean, you've got an obvious example of Katia Solovey. But actually, young Ukrainian that I lost to. And, you know, I know you're thinking I'm saying that just because I lost to him. But I've been keeping up with his doings on internet, and he is winning everything. I think he could be next superstar, but that time will tell. Talking of Ukraine, I mean the first go to obviously Katia. She's just consistently brilliant.
Yeah, her last competition was it was Benidorm, wasn't it, for World Championships, and there's a good video of her. She was down, and I think she turned it around in the last 10 seconds. She just knew exactly what she did, and I think she landed an axe kick or something like that. It's a famous video on YouTube.
If you don't have a clue, like, who we're talking about, just, you know, feel free to Google them and stuff like that. Like, I'll probably get like a Facebook page up and going for this, so like if people want to like interact and stuff like that, and, you know, post questions and or anything that people want to talk about, we'll do that. So, you know, occasionally if we're talking about something and you don't know who or what we're talking about, I can post some info or links and stuff like that on it. But I'll let you know next time on that one.
Yeah, and also, you know, we may have, it may not just be us two sometimes. Maybe we can invite some other people.
Most definitely.
To have a guest chat with. You know, we'll be very busy in the World Championships. Maybe we could pin down a few of our teammates, a few other people that we're talking about. Some of our friends from around the world we can have a little chat with.
Yeah, that's a good chat.
Yeah, and also on our Facebook, if you want anything you want us to discuss, just give us a... wiggle your fingers over the keyboard and tell us what you want us to talk about. And if you want to raise, you know, any other further discussions, or if there's anyone that you think has got that winning mentality, then just... you know, someone that you know that just knows how to win, then we want to hear about it.
And for them to tell us how.
How, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another one that's just sprung to me is Tim Cool. You know, he's not amazingly quick. He's not amazingly powerful, but
he's pretty powerful.
He is pretty powerful, yeah. I'm saying that, yeah. I took a brunt of a few of his punches, actually. He is,
but I know what you mean. He's got that sort of sparring intelligence, you know. As you said, just I don't think there's much of a better way to describe it other than just knows how to win, like, and can do it consistently. It's inspiring, something to aspire to, most definitely.
Yeah.
Excellent. I'm going to in fact, you know what? I'm going to leave that. I don't want to give it all away too soon, you know? I need it to...
Ooh, I'm on edge.
Build up. This is it. That's what they say, you should leave them on edge. So, yeah. So you know...
It's a cliffhanger.
We'll do that. Yeah, this is it.
This is where the ending music for... from EastEnders will come in.
Yeah, it's been dramatic. I think that's a good place to...
Yeah, we need some entrance music and some ending music as well.
Okay, I see what I can do. My technological skills are...
Wizardry.
are limited, but we'll try and... As I say, hopefully each one will get better and better, you know, once we get input from yourselves, and we'll keep you up to date, training diaries and all that, but jazz. Wicked. I hope you enjoyed our first episode. What are we going with the name Whitlock Experience just for now?
Whitlock Experience.
To finish.
Okay, we need a... let's see, how are we going to do this? Can you put your...
We're making hand signals at the moment.
We're making a W with our hand. Makes a W.
West side is the best.
This is the Whitlock Experience. Then fly off. Bye.
Bye.
You've been...